Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Kuf Bet Amud Bet by the two dots. The Gemara here is quoting from the Mishnah, which is Rabbi Yehuda's position within the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, V'minchat Kohen Mashiach, V'minchat Nisachim Psula, Shuzo B'lilata Ava, V'zo B'lilata Raka. The difference between the Korbanot that we're speaking about is the ratio of oil to Solet. In the case of a regular Mincha, Minchat Nedava, you have a Log Shaman to every Isaron of Solet. That's an equal ratio. On the other hand, by the Minchat Nisachim and the Minchat Kohen Mashiach, 3:1, which is 3 loaves shaman to every Isaron Solet. So therefore, you're going to have a higher level of oil. Yeah, the comments of the Minchat Nedavat Yisrael is Ava, because you have a thicker, you have more Solet in it. And then the Blila Raka is the higher oil content, which is the Minchat Kohen Mashiach or the Minchat Nisachim. And so Yehuda says about that, if you have a komet that falls into the mincha of Nesachim or mincha of the Kohen Mashiach, where you have a different ratio, then you have a problem. So now the Gemara says, "Tan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'minchat Kohen Mashiach, minchat Nesachim sula, shizo b'lilata ba, v'zo b'lilata raka, v'hein bolot zo mizo." And then they absorb from each other. V'chi bolot zo mizo, my havi. What's the difference if they absorb from each other? Min b'minohu. That's min bimino, and we know that Rabbi Yehuda says that min bimino ain't no batel. So then it doesn't change the fact that you have two items over here. So Amarova, Kosav Rabbi Yehuda, Koshu min bimino, v'davar acher. Anytime you have min bimino and something else, Saleket mino, you take away the min, misha ain't no, as if it's not there. V'she'enu mino, rabal avu batlo. And then the enu mino overrides the min, and is mevatelet. Now, this goes back to how you explain the Mishnah. Depending on how you explain the Mishnah, this will have different ramifications. There are actually three different ways to explain the Mishnah, and therefore you'll have three different outcomes out over here. Rashi in the Mishnah says that the problem when you have this mix is that the oil from the Minchat Nisachim or the Minchat Kohen Mashiach, which is heavier content of oil, slides into the komets, is absorbed by the komets, and then you have a problem called the Riba Shamna. There's too much oil in the komets. And therefore the komets is pasul. Rashi on the Mishnah does say that actually both of them are psulim. The komets is pasul, and the minchat nesachim are psulim, because the komets has too much oil in it, and now the minchat nesachim, or minchat kohen mashiach, has too little oil in it. And he says that the Mishnah should have written psulot, even though it just writes psula. Psula sounds like only one of the two items is pasul. Rashi says it should have written psulot, they're both psulim, and that's because they absorb from each other. Once you've said that, obviously whatever is being said here by Rova gives you that result. Now it's hard to figure out, based on that view of Rashi, what exactly happened over here. There are two other views about what happened here in the Mishnah. Rashi on Chav Gimel Amud Bet gives one explanation, and then the Shita Mikubet said on the Mishnah, in Od Bet brings another view of Rashi from the Ktav Yad. So you have three different views of Rashi of how to explain this Mishnah. So if you look at Od Bet of the Shita Mikubet on Chav Bet Amud Aleph, there he says that what is Pasul? V'minchat Nesachim Psula Perish HaKometz Shom Minchat Yisrael. The Kometz is Pasul. L'fisha Bala Kometz V'minchat Nesachim V'Rabba Shemen D'minchat Nesachim. And then you had more oil ala Kometz. U'mevatlo V'abi Mincha Shelo Nikteru Kometza. It's as if the mincha, the komets wasn't put on the zbeach, upsula. Aval mincha nesachim kshera. Mincha nesachim is totally fine. Don't have a riba shamna. Don't excess oil over here. Kevin, dishalo midat arvu. Batel, ukuman deleta. Akorchach alkan vigusach arashi tibyad. So over here he says that it's as if the oil doesn't exist. The oil that went away to the komets. And therefore, for the mincha nesachim, and the Minchat Kohen Mashiach, they are totally fine. Just over here, Taviyat of Rashi, Rashi says, he's suggesting that the oil that moves over from the Minchat Nisachim or Minchat Kohen Mashiach to the Komets, Mirab Hashem, the Minchat Nisachim are the Komets, Umevatlo. That the oil of the Minchat Nisachim overrides. What we're saying is basically the Solet and the Solet are Min B'mino, they go away. And now the oil from the Minchat Nesachim, which is the Davar Acher, now overrides the Solet that is found in the Kometz. And it's as if the Kometz doesn't exist. Since the Kometz doesn't exist, if you put on the Mizbeach, then it's as if there was nothing put on the Mizbeach, because you were Mevatel the Kometz. Then, the other way around, since the komets doesn't exist, the oil that was absorbed by the komets is not a deficit in the Minchat Nesachim or Minchat Koi Mashiach, because the komets doesn't exist. So the Minchat Nesachim or Minchat Koi Mashiach is still intact. So that's what it means over here, that you take, if you have min b'mino, the komets, the higher content, or it's considered to be more solid. So therefore, if I look at the Minchat Nesachim, Minchat Koi Mashiach, I say the solid as if it doesn't exist anymore. And now the shemen is what's left. That shemen overwhelms the komets. And it's as if the komets doesn't exist at all. The komets doesn't exist. You have two outcomes. One is that the komets on the Mizbeach is a zero, because it doesn't exist. On the other hand, it also means that the Minchat Nesachim and the Minchat Koi Mashiach don't have any deficit, because the komets doesn't exist. It's not taking anything away from it. That's the way Rashi learns, according to the Ktav Yad and the Shita Mikubetzet. Rashi, on the other hand, on Chav Gimel Amud Bet, says something else, which is, if you look at the komets as being the solet, and the Minchat Nesachim and the Minchat Kohen Mashiach as being the oil, more heavily oil content item. So now Rashi says just the opposite here on Chav Gimel Amud Bet, which is that you look at the Minchat Nesachim, Minchat Kohen Mashiach, and you say, I have a lot of shemen, and I have the flour that's there. So now I look and say, wait a minute, some of that oil went into the komets. That oil that went into the komets, min b'mino, is the oil itself, because the Minchat Nesachim, Minchat Koi Mashiach have a heavy oil content. So when it goes into the komets has oil, that's min b'mino. So I say, okay, we look at that as if that's not an issue. Then you have the solet of the komets. The solet of the komets is mivatel, the oil that came into it from the Minchat Koi Mashiach and Minchat Nesachim. When it's mivatel it, now you have a Minchat Nesachim, Minchat Koi Mashiach that has a deficit in it. Since it has a deficit, it's no good. The komets, not a problem at all. Because the komets mivatel the extra oil that's there, and it's the regular komets, and the oil that's there doesn't matter. So that's the other view. So Rashi has three different views here. According to what he says here in Chav Gimel Amud Bet, the Minchat Nesachim, Minchat Koi Mashiach are psulim, whereas the komets is totally fine. According to the Shita Mikubetz and the Ktav Yad, it is that the komets is problematic. It's gone. It's as if it doesn't exist, and it's a pasul. Whereas the Minchat Nesachim, Minchat Koi Mashiach is totally fine. Rashi in the Mishnah says they're both psulim, which is the hardest way to explain. In the other two cases, we explain why there's bitul over here. You eliminate the oil and the oil, or you eliminate the solet and the solet, and then what's left over ends up being mevatel, the other item. In the case of the Mishnah, it's hard to understand, according to Rashi, what's happening. It's almost bidirectional. If I look at the komets, I say that the oil of the Minchat Nesachim and Minchat Koi Mashiach comes and is mevatel it, so it doesn't exist. And then vice versa. The oil that seeped into the komets, the solet of the komets is mevatel that. And it's as if neither exist, or they're both have a deficit in them, and therefore they are both psulim, according to Rashi in the Mishnah. So that's how to explain this within Rabbi Yehuda. When you have min b'mino, they go away, and then the min she'enu b'mino comes and is mevatel whatever piece that you have that's floated between them or come between them. Alright, so next part, Itmar, komets de minchat choteh, shishamno. So minchat choteh is what is otherwise known as a mincha chareba. It's a dry mincha. Minchat choteh does not have shemen in it, does not have levona in it. So then, after he took off the komets, shamno, he oiled it. So he rubbed it in oil, even though the mincha here has no oil associated with it. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Pasul, Rabbi Yochanan says it is Pasul because it's a minchat chareba. It's a mincha chareba. Dry mincha, you can't have either of these items on it. You put oil onto the komets, you've ruined the mincha. Reish Lakish Amar, hu atzmo, mishach shecho b'sherei alog umaleu. Says, what are you talking about? They did that lichat chila. They used to take the komets of the minchat choteh and wipe up the leftovers of the oil from the log. Now, where exactly this oil came from is interesting. Why do you have sherei shemen halog? So Rashi over here says that you have leftovers from other menachot, so that they had the oil, the log that went into other menachot, they used to pour the oil in, and then he would used to rub the container where they had that oil in it, and use that to oil up the komets of the mincha chareba. So that's interesting only because we said before that you have to have the right amount of soul, the right amount of shemen. A mincha is comprised of a log shaman and an isaron solet. If you have a deficit of either one, it's a mincha psula. So how do you have residual left over of the log shaman that then doesn't make it that the mincha that you took this from is pasul. Tosfot says something here that we actually saw earlier in the Masechta. He says, Perish log shel menachot shenitotar. Log shemen, it's the leftovers up from another minchat nidava. And he says, wait a minute, if anything's missing, what are you going to do? B'yesh lomar. Shelo nitna Torah lemalachei asharit. Torah's not given to malachei asharit. V'yifshar shelo yisher b'log min hashemen. There's got to be some residue, some residual of oil that's in the log shemen. Tosafot earlier in the Masechta, it's a Tosafot on the bottom of Yudam and Bed. He says, Yesh lomar, shen rigolot etzamtzema yisaron. Shelo yehi bo ma'at yoter. They were not exact about the yisaron. They used to put a little extra in there so they wouldn't have a problem of actually getting a full Yisaron out. And that's what he spoke about. It was in a different context, but he said that in a similar vein. They actually put in more than a log shemen of oil into the container because they knew that it wouldn't all come out. So they actually used to put in a little excess of oil that it's not exact and we can't get the log shemen exactly. So they put a little extra so that when they got it out, it was a log, but that would also indicate that there's residual that is left in the container. So that's the way that Rashi, and then with the explanation of Tosafot, explain where this excess oil is coming from that they're dipping the komets of the Minchat Choteh into. On the other hand, you look in Chav Gimel of the Sheet of Mekubetzet, he quotes, V'yesh tomar, demari v'log shemen shel mitzora. We're not talking about the log shemen of a mincha, but rather the log shemen that the mitzora brings in his tara. She'en nechal, v'en laktir im nishar v'log kevin shu nechal. And if there's anything left over there, you don't put it on the Mizbeach. It's just leftovers. It's eaten by the Kohanim. And so whatever residual is there, they didn't have anything to do with it. So he says, the Tosafot Kitzoniot suggests that we're speaking about the Log Shemen Shel Mitzorah and the residual of the Log Shemen Shel Mitzorah. So Rish Lakish believes that they did this L'chatchila. Right, so now, the question on Rish Lakish is obviously Aktiv. The Pasuk says, Lo Yassim Aleha Shemen, V'lo Yiten Aleha Levona. It's not supposed to have Shemen in Levona. How shelo yigvala shemen kechabrutah? That's to teach you that it doesn't have shemen like its counterparts. So the way that Rashi explains that is that ba'od shelo nikmitza. Before there's a komets taken off, there can't be shemen in libona. That's something of the core mincha. When you bring the mincha, it doesn't come with shemen. But after you've taken off the komets, then it's allowed to have the shemen placed on it. That's the way Rashi explains it over here. The other possible way to explain it, the Sfat Emet suggests over here, which is interesting, is that lo yigvala shemen. Koveya shemen is the loaf. You can't have an exact amount of a loaf, or we don't put in a loaf shemen in this mincha chareva. But that doesn't mean you can have a smaller amount of shemen that's put together with it. It doesn't have a fixed ratio of oil to the iseron, but if you have some shemen, that's fine. That means sholo kechaverta, not like it's chabruta. Although Rashi, again, separates between the core mincha and the komets itself. For the komets itself, you're allowed to put the oil on, whereas the core mincha, when you start out, you can't put any oil on it. That's where it's lo yassim aleha shemen, v'lo yitein aleha libona. Then, etavei Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish, chareiv shnitarev hubalul. You have a dry mincha that mixed up with a wet mincha, in that you have a mincha chareiva, minchat chuteh, that got mixed up with a minchat nidava. Yakriv. Chachamim say that you're makrivit. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo yakriv. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says you cannot be makrivit. My love, what's the problem here? Komets to minchat choteh, diarei bekomets to minchat nidava. If a komets from a minchat chareva, a minchat choteh, that mixed up the komets of a minchat nidava, in that case, you have a wet mincha that has shemen in it, and then you have a dry mincha that has no shemen in it. So the assumption of the problem is that the shemen that goes from the komets of the minchat nedava goes on to the dry komets of the minchat choteh and ruins it. So now for Rabbi Yehuda, it's clearly a problem for Rish Lakish, because why is it that the shemen touching the komets of the minchat choteh, why does that make any difference? That's fine according to him, because shemen's allowed to get on the minchat choteh, and so why is there an issue? So that's clearly a question for Rabbi Yehuda. But Rashi points out that the question also exists from the Shita of the Rabbanah. But filo rabbanon lo amre yakriv, and the ben rabbanon would say yakriv el mishum do'olim ein mevatlin zeh. This goes back to yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf, when we said that you have to take midama paro midama seir, there was a machloka between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. What that taught you? Rabbi Yehuda said it taught you min b'mino einu batel. The Chachamim said that taught you ein olim mevatlin zeh. Something that goes on the mizbeach is not mevatel each other. So the reason the Chachamim say over here yakriv is because olim aren't mevatlim etzeh. They don't affect each other. So therefore, the oil that's there is assigned or attributed to the other item that is going on the Mizbeach. But had it been oil from something else or some external oil that is not part of the Olim on the Mizbeach, then even according to the Chachamim, it would present a problem for the Minchat Choter, the Kometz of the Minchat Choter. And so there also it's a problem for Reish Lakish. According to Reish Lakish, if you get Shemen on there, it's no big deal. So then why, in this case, both does Rabbi Yehuda say you can't put it on the Mizbeach? The Chachamim only allow you to put it on the Mizbeach because of Ein Olim V'Adlim Zetzeh. Why do they think there's an issue with the Shemen being on the Minchat Choter? The Gemara says, no, that's not the way you have to explain it. It's a case of Minchat Parim Ve'Elim Ve'Minchat Kivasim. That it's a difference in the Minchat Nesachim. It's two different types of Minchat Nesachim. By the Keves, you bring an Isaron Solet that comes with a Revi'it Ahin. Revi'it Ahin is three lobes. So the ratio is three lobes Shaman to an Isaron Solet by the Kvasim. On the other hand, the Parim and the Elim have a ratio of 2-1, which is that the Elim come with Shnei Asronim, and they have a Shlishit Ahin. Ahin is 12 lobes. Shlishit Ahin is 4 lobes. So they have 2 Isaron to 4 lobes. And the Parim come with a 3 Isaron and Chatzi Ahin, which is 6 lobes. So they are in a ratio of 2 log oil to every Isaron, whereas the Keves is 3 log oil to every Isaron. So you have a differential in the oil content between the Keves versus the Parim and the Elim. And that's when he says the problem is over here. The bright that says, Chareiv, Shnitareiv, Bebalul, the dry one got mixed up with the wet one. It's not completely dry versus someone that is wet that has Shemen in it. It's one that is drier on a relative basis to the other one, which is that the Parim and the Elim are drier compared to the Kvasim. The Kvasim have a 3-1 ratio of oil, whereas the Parim and Elim only have a 2-1 ratio. So they are considered to be Charev, they're considered to be dry, whereas the Kvasim are considered to be Balul. And that's what got mixed up together. And in that case, we say there's a problem. But had it been a case of a Kometz, of a Minchat Choter, that got mixed up with the Kometz of the Minchat Nedava, it wouldn't be a problem. You can see in Rashi, Eichad init arba Minchat Parim v'Minchat Kvasim, because you're changing the ratio of the mix, the ingredients, the viscosity. It's being changed by the fact that one of them is thicker than the other. Aval kometz minchat koteh, direiv. The kometz minchat nedava yakriv, no problem. Because according to Reish Lakish, there's no problem if oil gets into the minchat koteh. Where it says, v'ha be'etrek tanila. Minchat parim ve'ilim ve'minchat kvasim ve'chareiv shnitareiv ve'balu yakriv. So you can't say the latter part of the Mishnah already has the case that you're telling us is already said prior to that in this braita. So Rav Yehuda Omer lo yakriv. Peirushei kamifarish law. It's an explication on the Mishnah. What is the case of Karev and Balul, or the other way around? What's the issue between Parim Elim and Minchat Kvasim? It's Karev versus Balul. So they are, each one is defining the other, explaining what the issue is between them, but not that there are two separate cases in the braita. It's one case, and that case is Parim Elim versus Kvasim. We didn't resolve this issue, and then we move on to a new question. Vayirovo. Kometz, Shemitza Shmano, Agabe Eitzim. We have a kometz of a regular Minchat Nedava, and he squeezed the kometz that oil leached out of it, and then fell onto the wood that was there. Rashi says, so it was on the Eitzim of the pyre, and then he puts the kometz on top of it to burn it on the pyre. Now, Miyavi Chaser Kometz alone. Does the kometz have a deficit in it? Or is it not a deficit? Which is the question of the Gemara. Chiburei olim, kolim damo. When you have some connection between things that are going in the Mizbeach, do they become a singular unit? Olam kolim damo. Or do they not become a singular unit? So Rashi says here, kilo ave shemen muvla b'kometz. Afterwards, when you put the kometz on the wood of the pyre, do we view the oil as if it is part of the kometz? Because sure. And therefore, it's a kosher kometz that has its oil and has its flour and everything's good. Or low, or do we see the oil that's on the Eitzim being separate from the kometz? Therefore, it's a kometz that's missing its oil. And that deficit makes that you don't have a kosher kometz. Tosfot over here enhances that explanation of Rashi, and he says, Perish, Ktsat Nivla Min Hashem Beitzim. Part of that oil was already absorbed into the wood. Umiksato Be'ein Agabi Eitzim, Ima Kometz. And there's still some of it on top of the Eitzim that is still substantive. There's still oil, not absorbed in, but literally oil that's on top of the Eitzim. And then the Kometz is touching it. The question is, that which is absorbed into the wood, do we look at it as if it's still in its full substance outside of the Eitzim? Because you have a piece of it, or some of the oil that's sitting on top of the yitzim. So that part connects with the kometz, but does that then help you connect with the oil that's absorbed into the yitzim? That's the way Tosafot says it, so that's a more enhanced view. Rashi just simply says the oil that's in the wood or on the wood, does it connect with the kometz? Tosafot says, no, there's oil absorbed into the wood, and there's some of it on top. Can you connect between those two and take that which is already absorbed and make it as if it's still real? Which means that Tosafot assumes that if it was all on top of the Eitzim, it wouldn't be a problem. It clearly would be Mechaber. Question is, the absorbed part, can it be Mechaber? According to Rashi, the question might even be just the oil that's sitting on top of the Eitzim, can that connect with the Kometz that's there? Because it's outside of the Kometz. They're not mixed together. There's some separation between them. Rashi, at the end of the Sugya, says, Lashon Acher. Says there's another question here. Kometz, Shemitza, Shmano, Agav Eitzim, Mau. The Eitzim are totally separate. Not Eitzim of the pyre. You just squeezed it onto wood. Mi boila akhtir etzim im akometz or lo. Do you have to put those etzim along with the kometz onto the mizbeach? Because the etzim have the oil in them. Chiburi olim shemen shemechaber lakometz ke olim damu. So the shemen that's in the etzim, will it connect with the kometz and therefore make it into a proper kometz? So that would obligate you to put the wood on the mizbeach. Yemenu makhtiro abi kometz chaser. If you don't put it on, you're going to be missing shemen from the kometz, and it'll be no good. Olav kolim dano v'leich patlan. Or we say that it makes no difference, and it's not gonna bother us. It doesn't matter to us, the oil that fell out already. Just put the kometz on the mizbeach, which... So then, according to that second view in Rashi, it's a much more fundamental question, which is, do they need to end up on the mizbeach at the same time? Even though they were together at one point, now that they are separated and put on the mizbeach, is that enough? And loich patlan, we don't worry about it, as long as they both end up on the mizbeach. Or do they need to end up on the Mizbeach together? Do we require a Chiburei Olim? We require them to be together, otherwise it's deemed to be a Minchat Chaserah. Or do we say that as long as both of them end up on the Mizbeach, Lo Ichbatlan, it doesn't bother us that they are separate, or that they're going on as separate entities. So when you have something that is separate, identifiable part, does that require you then to get on the Mizbeach together with the other parts? Or can they individually be put on the Mizbeach, even though they're meant to be together at some point? And that's the question of Chiburei Olim. So according to the first views, whether it's Rashi or the enhanced Rashi in the Tosafot, it's clear that if they were not attached, you would not be Yotzei. The only question is this considered to be a sufficient attachment? According to this latter question, there's a more fundamental question. Do they need to be attached in order for them to be put on the Mizbeach? Or can they be put on the Mizbeach separately? And then the question of Chiburei Olim is not whether there is a connection between them, but it's how tightly connected are these items. Isn't this a machloke Rav Yochanan Ish Lakish? Dikmar. Amale Eiver Sheimbo Kizayit. Be'etzem Mashlimo Lekizayit. You put an Eiver on the Mizbeach, but here it's a Mizbeach Lachutz. This is Haktarat Chutz. You're putting a Kizayit worth of Basar on a Mizbeach Lachutz, which will make you Chayav for Halah Bachutz. But that Kizayit of Basar also has a bone inside of that Basar. The question is, what does the bone do to that Kizayit? Yochanan Amar Chayav, because the bone is mitzaref to the basar. If you put the basar on the mizbeach, you'd put it on with the bone, and we would say that it's olel mizbeach. So since it is part and parcel of what that which would go on the mizbeach, when you're maktir b'chutz, you're going to be a chayav. Rish Lakish Amar Patur, because if it pops off the mizbeach, then the bone is not put back on the mizbeach. The basar would be put back on the mizbeach. The bone is only put on the mizbeach because of the basar. We don't force you to separate it. It comes as something that's ancillary to the basar. You have an etzem that goes on as well. But the bone itself inherently doesn't belong on the mizbeach. And so therefore, when you're being makrif b'chutz, it's not going to be mashlim to the kizayit. So that's the machloket. So they're basically saying whether there's a chibur between items. Do we say that this chibur is enough to make it into a singular unit? Or they're considered to be separate items, and therefore you don't have a kizayit over here. Isn't that exactly what you're asking here with regards to the oil and the kometz? Are they mechubar? By etzem and basar, then this works much better according to that second view in Rashi. The real question is, how attached are these items? I mean, how integral are they to each other versus whether they can go on separately? Over here, the etzem cannot go on separately from the basar. So the question is, when the etzem is together with the basar, how tight a unit do they form? Are they chiburei olim? Are they considered to be a singular unit together? Or they just happen to be two disparate objects that are put together, but there is no chiburei olim over here. So Rav Ashi says back to Ravina, Tibayla Rav Yochanan, Tibayla Reish Lakish. It's a question according to Rav Yochanan, it's a question according to Reish Lakish. This question of Rava will not be answered by either of them. Tibaye the Rabbi Yochanan. The question was Rabbi Yochanan. Adkan lo kamar Rabbi Yochanan tamelu be'etzem demina de basaru. Over there, the reason he considers the etzem to be a part and parcel of the basar is because it's part of the basar. It's the same type. Bones and meat come together. They're a unit that naturally comes together. And therefore, you consider them to be a singular unit. Of a high, the lab mina de kometsu. Over here, when you're speaking about something that's not the type of the comets, lo, maybe over there, you wouldn't say that they join together. So whether you say that it's the shemen, which is foreign to the solid that's there, or whether you say it's the etzim that are foreign to these comets that's there, either way, you have a foreign item over here which you're trying to connect with, and does that work? Oh, Dilma, I feel the Reish Lakish, even according to Reish Lakish, lo kamar Reish Lakish el be'etzem de bar mifrashu. Be barish lav mitzvah dure. And if it separates away, there's no mitzvah to put it back on the mizbeach, because it's something that can separate away. Now you could read it as the bar mifrashu, it's garbage. It's stuff that you would throw away. Or the bar mifrashu, it means if it separates away, you wouldn't put it back. Aval shemen, the lav bar mifrashu, it's not something that separates away. And if it leaves the mizbeach, you're going to put it back on the mizbeach. Lo. Odem alo shnam, it makes no difference. Teiku. So we leave it as an unresolved issue. So Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is machloket with regards to the etzim and the basar is not going to shed insight on our case here, because you're dealing with a different issue. Dealing with etzim, which is part and parcel of the basar, or an etzim that doesn't go back on the mizbeach, versus our case where the shemen and the solid are totally separate items, but if either one of them's off, we're going to put them back on the mizbeach. So they have properties that make them different than the basar and the etzim, both for Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and therefore you can't answer the question from the machloket of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Right now, we move on to the next Mishnah. Again, this Mishnah may not be so separate as you can see in Rashi. It says, Kfar Parashti Lamalo. I already explained this above, and Rashi's papers on this Mishnah is found on the previous Mishnah, which makes it sound like this belongs together with the previous Mishnah, and not over here. And if you look in the Sheet of Mekubetz, it wrote Yudzayin, he says, Tevat Matznitan, Shtei Menachot, Parashti Lamalo, Nimchak. Because the Sheet of Mekubetz believes that the Mishnah doesn't belong here at all. Therefore, Rashi's statement that I explained it above is not relevant because the whole Mishnah was above. And that would then make this Gemara more a continuation of the Gemara on the previous Mishnah rather than a continuation of the Gemara that we just spoke about, which is Shtei Menachot, Shelo Nikmitzu, Benitarvu Zo B'Zo. If two Menachot have yet to have the Komets taken off of them and they get mixed together, Im Yecholok Motz Mizo Bifnei Atzma, Kisheirot, then they are fine. If you can take a kmitza off each one of them without them being mixed, that's fine. So for instance, say that they are touching, or they got mixed together, but there's an edge on each side, which is separate, and you're able to take a kometz off from that side, and a kometz off the other side, and capture independently each one of these menachot, then you do that. You take off a kometz from each side, and then they would be kshirot. Bimlav, if you cannot do that, psulot, you have a problem. And Rashi says you can't just take the mixture and take off two kmatzim from the mixture, because who says you're going to get a kometz of this mincha and a kometz of that mincha? You don't know what you're going to get in those two kmatzim, and therefore they are psulot. Kometz, shenitarei b'mincha shlo nikmitza. You have a kometz that was already taken off, got mixed together with a mincha that shlo nikmitza, had yet to have its kometz taken off. Lo yaktir. You can't put those on the mizbeach. V'im yaktir, if he does put them on the mizbeach, zo shenikmitza ola lebalim. The one that already had the kometz taken off, the kometz belongs on the mizbeach. When it gets to the mizbeach, then it discharges the obligation of the balim. Zo shelo nikmitza lo ala lebalim. And the one that didn't have the kometz taken off is not ola lebalim. Even though subsumed within that mincha is a kometz that will end up or needs to end up on the mizbeach, since you have yet to define the kometz, there's no definition of the kometz versus the shirayim, and therefore that mincha does not discharge the obligation of the person because they never had a kometz separated out. The kometz is already separated out. If you get it on the mizbeach, we'll discharge the obligation of the balim. But batfila, we're not going to tell you to put it on the mizbeach, because you have a mixture between a kometz that belongs on the mizbeach and a mincha in its entirety that doesn't belong on the mizbeach. For that reason, we don't allow you to put it on the mizbeach. But if you did put it on the mizbeach, the one whose kometz ended up in the mizbeach is discharging his obligation. Nitarev kumtza b'shiareha. If a kometz falls back into the shirayim, o b'shiareha shel chaverta, or the residual, meaning that which is given to the Kohanim from another mincha. Lo yaktir, once again here, you can't put on the mizbeach. This is something we already learned before with regards to the shirayim. Anything that has a portion of it that goes on the mizbeach, then the residual or the Shiraim are restricted from ending up on the Mizbeach, and that's based on the Pasuk by the Minchat Nedava that says, it says, Chol Mincha Asher Takrivu LaHashem Lo Taseh Chametz, Kechol Sor B'chol Devash Lo Taktiru Mimenu Ishe LaHashem. So in the context of the Pasuk, it means you can't put these items on the Mizbeach, that is, Chametz and Devash never end up on the Mizbeach. But Chazal, in isolation, take that statement of Lo Taktiru Mimenu Ishe LaHashem. If something goes to the Ishe LaHashem, the Lo Taktiru Mimenu, that which is not on the Ishe LaHashem, may not end up on the Mizbeach. That means that if you have a mincha, the kometz is something that is Yishel Hashem, then there is a lo taktiru imenu, a restriction against putting on the mizbeach, the shirayim of the mincha. So there's an isra haktara on the shirayim. So over here we have the shirayim and the kometz together. We're not going to let you put on the mizbeach because the kometz does belong, but the shirayim, there's a restriction against putting them on the mizbeach. But in the end, if he does get it on the mizbeach, if he does violate that restriction, then the kometz did end up on the mizbeach, and your yotzei, in terms of the kometz, ending up on the mizbeach. And the Shita Mekubetzet over here in Otzayin, he points out that Rashi has a slightly different lashon with regards to the first case, where you have two menachot that have yet to take a kometz taken off of them. Over there he says, psula, and Rashi says, the ein haktara mitzvah ela bekometz. Demash meim ratzal haktir yaktir. There it sounds like if you wanted to put it on, you could put it on. Ubeseifa, in the latter cases where already is a kometz and shirayim involved, there he says it's asur laktir because koshim emenu liyishim is bebal taktiru. Anything that goes on the mizbeach, then the residual has a restriction of bal taktiru. Ava bereisha, in the reisha lo v'yichalek v'wa mevurar. In the reisha, the part that belongs to a kosh baruch hu, the kometz, I mean that goes on the mizbeach, is not defined yet. Below grinam emenu liyishim, and therefore it's not subject to the isur. So that's why in the Reisha it says that you shouldn't do it, it's pasul, but if you do it, you're not in violation of a lav. Whereas in the cases where already the shirayim and the kometz are defined, over there you're actually going to have a lav of lo tatiru, bal tatiru. So Amar Rav Chisda. So now we have a statement that seemingly is disjointed from our Gemara, but we'll come back to where we started, which is, nevela b'teila b'shkuta. Shkuta means anything that was shechted properly. A treifa, which is also shechted, does not have tumat nevela. They will not convey tumah. On the other hand, a nevela conveys tumah. If you have two pieces of kosher meat, one piece of non-kosher meat, or basically two pieces of meat that are not tameim, and one piece of meat that is tameh, then bitela, that overwhelms it, she afshar l'shkuta shetase nevela. Because shechted meat can never become a nevela. Or shkuta, Eina b'teila b'nevela. The other hand, if it's the other way around, when you have two pieces of nevela and one piece of shchuta, there it's not batel. Why? She'efshar l'nevela taseh shchuta, because the nevela can turn into a shchuta. The reason being uluchi misracha parcha tumata, because when it goes rotten, tuma leaves it. The difference between a shchuta and a nevela is whether they convey tuma. So when it comes to a shchuta, a shkuta can never turn into a piece of nevela. There's nothing that would ever happen to the shkuta, except if it comes into contact with tumah. But by itself, or inherently, there's nothing about the shkuta that will ever make it tameh. As opposed to nevela, whose tumah has an expiry date. There's an expiration to the tumah, because once it spoils the meat, to the point of either where it's not roi l'achilat adam or not roi l'achilat beimatz machlok at how far it has to go, at that point it no longer convey tumah. So that's what it means. Nevela can turn into a shkuta. That which is tamei can turn into not tamei later on in its life. Whereas a shkuta, which is not tamei, can never turn into something that is tamei. So the question is, two pieces of tahor meat, and you have a piece of nevela which is tamei, does the tahor meat overwhelm mevatel the nevela? And therefore, if truma comes into contact with these pieces, what is the din? So according to Rav Chisda, if you have nevela, one piece of nevela that is tmeya, that's amongst the shchuta, which is tehora, they will overwhelm the nevela, and it is batel. And if truma comes into contact with these items, it is tahor. Now Tosafot clarifies and says it's only if you come into contact with them. But if it does masa, if you lift them up altogether, it will be tmeya, because then you've captured all of them in a single motion where you pick them up. It's an interesting dynamic as to whether that's only derabbanan or that is deoraita. Because that also might have to do with how bittul works. When we say that something is batel, Do we say as if it doesn't exist anymore? And therefore, you have three pieces of non-tamei meat here now? Or do we say that it still exists, but if I look at each one individually, then it is tahor? So that's something along the lines of what Tosfot is saying over here. We have masaf, you're able to pick all three of them up at once, will convey to tumah. It seems to indicate that it still exists there, the tumah. It's just batel when I look at them individually or when I come into contact with them. But if I have a way to contact all of them in a single motion, then it will be a problem because then for sure you come across the one that is tmeyah. And so Tosfot does say that with regards to masah, there are those that disagree and say here, even b'masah would not be a problem because when we say b'teila, we mean b'teila the gamrei. This meat is no longer tmeyah. So then, vice versa, if you have one piece of meat that is tahor and two pieces that are tmeim, then over there they're not vatel the tahor. Why does that matter? If you come into contact, the robe is still tamei. It makes it into a safek. So if truma comes into contact with it, you won't be able to burn the truma. It'll be safek truma, which is taloi. You leave it until it goes bad, and then you burn it. Because we're not certain if it touched truma. That's what Rashi says, that it's a safek. Tosafot clarifies more, and that's the challenge to Rashi, which is, what do you mean? We have rules when it comes to safek truma, what you do. Safek truma b'shuta yachid is tamei. Safek truma b'shuta rabim is tahor. So over here, that should be the answer. If it happened in Rishut Yachid, it will be Tamei. If it happened in Rishut Rabim, it will be Tehor. So that's the way Tosfot views the outcome of this, according to Rav Chisda. Whereas Rashi views it simply as, we have a Safek, and then you have to deal with it as a Safek. That's Rav Chisda's view. I'll explain in a second more deeply what that means. Rabbi Chanina Amar, Kol She'efshar Liot Kamo, Einu Batel. Anything that can be similar to it is not Batel. Kol She'efshar Liot Kamo, Batel. Other than anything that can be like it is batel. It seems like he's saying the same thing as Rav Chisda. If it can become like it, it's not batel. If it cannot become like it, then it is batel. The difference between them, the Gemara is going to say just shortly, is that where do you focus on? Do you focus on the mivatel, the object that is doing the bitul? Or do you focus on the batel, the item that is being nit batel, the item that is being wiped out? That's the machloket here between Rav Chisda and Rabbi Chanina, and you have reasons to do both. Do we look at the one that is being batel, that's the ikar item that is doing the job of the bitul here? Or do we look at the batel, the item that's being nit batel, which is the object of the bitul, that's the focal point, because we want to know if it's batel. That difference leads them to their difference in opinion. Rav Chisda says we look at the mit batel. So in the case here, where you have nevela, the shkuta, that is overwhelming the nevela, over there it's batel. It's min she'enu mino. Min she'enu mino is batel. Therefore, the two shchuta overwhelm the nevela. On the other hand, if you have two nevela and one shchuta, then the mivatel, the nevela, can turn into a shchuta. That means you now have min b'mino, and min b'mino is not batel. So that's how Rav Chisda explains it. You focus on the mivatel, and I look, is the mivatel min b'mino, or is it min she'enu mino? In the case where it's the shkuta, it's min she'enu mino, because the mivatel, the shkuta, can never turn into nevela. In the other case where it's nevela is the majority, then that can turn into shkuta, and it remains min b'mino, it's not batel. Rabbi Chanina says just the opposite. He says we focus on the batel, the object of the bitul. And the object of the bitul is min b'mino, it's not batel. Therefore, he says, in the case where you have two shkuta and one nevela, the nevela is the object of the bitul. And that can turn back into shkuta. It can come non-tmeyah in the future when it goes bad. And therefore, it is min b'mino and it's not batel. Vice versa, if you have two nevela and one shkuta, that one shkuta, which is the object of the bitul, can't turn into nevela. And therefore, it's min she'enu mino and it is batel. That's their machloket, but the Gemara wants to know, Aliba Daman. According to whom is their opinion? Aliba Darabbanan. If you're saying this is the Shita Rabbanan, Amrei Olinu, they only say things that go on the Mizbeach and not Mavat to each other. About Min B'mino, Batel. Even Min B'mino, according to them, is Batel in the regular rules of Bitul. So then why over here would you have a case where it's not Batel? Just because you call it Min B'mino, according to the Chachamim, Min B'mino has the same din as Min She'enu Mino. So there's no reason to make such a distinction. Il even the Rabbi Yehuda, if you think they're saying this in the position of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Batar Chazuta Azil, Rabbi Yehuda looks at the appearance of the object. V'idi, v'idi, min b'minu. And therefore over here, the objects are the same. They're both basar over here. He does not look at the halachic definition or status of the item. He simply looks at the basic properties of the item. If it looks like dam, then it is dam. And if it looks like basar, it's going to be basar. And so over here, if you have basar, basar, that's min b'mino. And according to Yehuda, min b'mino is enu batel. Ela alibi de Rabbi Chiya. They're saying this in the Shita of Rabbi Chiya. The Tani Rabbi Chiya, nevela u'shkuta b'telot zo bazu. That nevela and shkuta can be batel. That there is bitul between them. Rabbi Chiya alibi de man. Who's Rabbi Chiya saying this according to? Il ibn the Rabbanon, if you say this the Rabbanon, Hamre, Olinu, the Lobby Batle Adadi, Hamre, Bimino, Batil. So why does it matter? What's the Chiddush here telling me that Shkuta and Nevela can be Mevatel each other? According to the Chachamim, it's irrespective of whether it's Mimino, Minche, Nevino, they are Mevatel each other. So what's Rabbi Chiya saying? Il ibn Rabbi Yehuda, if you say this is the position of Yehuda, call Mimino, Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Batil. That's Mimino, and it's not Batel. So why is Rabbi Chiya saying that you can be Mevatel Shkuta and Nevela? So the answer is, Olam Alibi de Rabbi Yehuda. It's really according to Rabbi Yehuda. V'chi kamai Rabbi Yehuda, min b'mino lo batel. When do we say min b'mino is not batel? Hani mileheched efshar lein mahavi kavate. That's only in a case where the other object could turn into the object that is there. That's what makes it min b'mino. V'heched lo efshar lein mahavi kavate. If it can never reach the properties or have the similar properties of the other item, batel, then it's min shein amino, and it is batel. Ubahaka miflege, the Rav Chista, this is the machloka here between Rav Chista and Rav Chanina. They're arguing within Rabbi Chia's position, the Rav Chista savar batar mevatel azlinan, how do we determine whether the items can change into each other? So according to Rav Chista, we look at the mevatel. If the mevatel can turn into the object that is being batel, then it's min b'mino. If the item that's being mevatel cannot turn into the object that's being nitbatel, then it's min sheino mino and it's batel. On the other hand, Rabbi Chanina savar batar batel aslinan. We go after the object of the bitul. The object of the bitul can turn into the mevatel, then it's min b'mino, it's not batel. If the object of the bitul cannot turn into the mevatel, then it's min sheino mino and it is batel. So they're saying this within Rabbi Chiya, and Rabbi Chiya himself qualifies Rabbi Yehuda. It says that Rabbi Yehuda only meant to say min b'mino is enu batel. That's when the two objects can turn into each other. If the objects can't turn into each other, then he agrees that it's min she'enu mino. And then the question of the machloket amoraim over here between Rav Chista and Rabbi Chanina is as to what is the governing factor to determine whether it can change into the other item. Which is the static item and which is the item that we're looking to change? So according to Rav Chista, the static item is the object of the bitul. The mevatel is the one we're looking to change. And Rabbi Chanina says just the opposite. The object, the mevatel is static. And we want to know if the object of the bitul can change into that which is the mevatel. Rashi here asks a very important question. He says, Vikasha says, now that you're assuming that this is in the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, then Gabi Damim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that ain dam mevatel dam, because it's min b'mino and ainu batel, then dam rather Yisrael ain dam chulin mevatel dam kodashim. We said already that when it comes to the dam of chulin, it cannot overwhelm the dam of kodashim because min b'mino. Bishlama the Rabbi Chanina. According to Rabbi Chanina, it makes a lot of sense. Ha'cha efshar the kodashim liot kechulin. It's possible for kodashim to turn into chulin. It's not possible for Kulin to turn into Kodashim. That is if you leave it overnight. Kishyalin Laila Echad. You leave it overnight, then Yatsami Kedushato Kechulin. It loses its Kedusha, and it turns into Kulin. So for Rabbi Chanina, you don't have a problem. Because no matter which way you go, you're going to end up okay. We have here Kodashim and Kulin. Which do you have more of? Do you have more of Kodashim or do you have more of Kulin? So for Rabbi Chanina, it's not going to matter. In the case where you have more blood of Kodashim and a smaller amount of Chulin, Rabbi Chanina says we look at the object of the Bitul. Over here, the object of the Bitul is the Chulin. Chulin cannot turn into Kodashim. And since Chulin can't turn into Kodashim, it's min she'eno mino. And the dam of the Kodashim overwhelms the Chulin, and now it's dam Kodashim. So you can put it on the Mizbech, no problem. In the reverse case, where the Chulin is greater than the Kodashim, and you're trying to say the Chulin will now come along and be mevatel the Dam Kodashim,
The Dam Kodeshim is the object, and the Dam Kodeshim can turn it to Chulin later on. That makes it Mibimino, and it's not Batel. Since it's not Batel, when you put on the Mizbeach, you're Yotzeh with the Dam Kodeshim that ends up on the Mizbeach. So Rabbi Chanina, we can explain Rabbi Yehuda's position that ain't Dam Mevatel Dam, either because it's Mim Einu Mino, and the Dam Kodeshim overwhelms, and therefore you have Dam Kodeshim here, or it's a case where it's Mim Bimino, because the Kodeshim are the smaller piece, they can turn into Chulin, that makes it Mim Bimino, Mim Bimino, Einu Batel. So Rabbi Chanina, all of this makes sense. The problem is for Rav Chisda. According to Rav Chisda, it's very hard to explain that position of Rabbi Yehuda. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda now, if you have a case where the Chulin is greater than the Kodoshim, then according to Rav Chisda, we go Bater Mevatel, the object that is being Mevatel. Over here, the Mevatel is the Chulin. The Chulin is larger in size. It cannot turn into Kodoshim, and therefore it's Min She'enu Mino, and it would be Mevatel the Kodoshim, and all you have left here is Chulin. In the opposite case, we have more Kodoshim than Chulin. There, if we go Bater Mevatel, the Kodoshim is the Mevatel. It can turn into Chulin. That'll make it Min Bimino. And in that case, the Dam Kodoshim will not be Mevatel the Chulin. And then it can go on the Mizbeach. But the problem is, in the reverse case, we have Chulin being greater than the Kodoshim. Over there, you have Min She'enu Mino. And it should be, Chulin should be Mevatel the Kodoshim. And then you wouldn't be able to put it on the Mizbeach. So that's a question that Rashi asks in Rav Chisda's position. He says, don't worry about that. Toritz, he says, you should answer that the case in the Mishnah is a case where the Kodoshim are greater than the Chulin. So according to Rashi, the way that Rashi Mekubetzin explains to us in Otet Zayin, Rashi is saying that Rav Chisda will have to say that the scenario here, the scenario in that Mishnah Zvachim is a case where the Dam Zvachim was greater than the Dam Chulin. That's how Rashi answers over here. On the other hand, the Shita Mekubetzet brings the Ot Aleph, an alternate view that's brought down by the Ri, as to how to answer the problem. It says, Vomeri, to Rav Chisda v'adai ne'amar, Rav Chia Tanu, Rav Chia Polig, Atana Dizvachim. He says that according to Rav Chisda, you're going to have to say that Rav Chia disagrees with that Mishnah in Zvachim that deals with the Dam, Mevatel Dam, and Rav Yehuda saying, Ein Dam, Mevatel Dam. Rav Chia is going to argue on that Mishnah according to Rav Chisda. Rav Chia is a Tana. Since here the Gemara wants to know, according to Rabbi Chia, is he following the Rabbanon or Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Chia is a Tana. But you see here, and something that we noted before as well, sometimes when you have later Tanaim, we want them to fit in, or they have to fit into the earlier Tanaim's position, especially when it's a fundamental machloket. So that's what the Gemara says here. Rabbi Chia is much later than Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, and therefore he's got to fit into one of their two positions. That's technically the way that we learned the Gemara, and that's the way the Gemara seems to lay out. And Rashi in the end says that Rabbi Chia is according to Rabbi Yehuda, and we'll have to fix that case in Zvachim to say that it's a case where there's more blood of Kodeshim than that of Chulin, and therefore it won't be a problem for Rabbi Chisda. Shita Mekubetzet brings from the Ri that maybe not. Maybe Rabbi Chia really does argue on the Tano of the Mishnah in Zvachim who brings Rabbi Yehuda's Shita that way. He thinks Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is different, and he'll argue on that according to Rabbi Chisda. So that's how Rabbi Chisda has to deal with this problem. The Rashi that we have brings the answer as being that it has to be a case where there's more Kodeshim than Chulin, that'll solve the problem. According to the Shita Mekubetzet, he quotes in the Ri that maybe Rabbi Chia will be a Tana, and he'll argue on the Tana of Zvachim as to what Rabbi Yehuda's position is, at least according to Rabbi Chisda. It's not. So our Mishnah, this is how it ends up being over here, this Sugya, because we're going to ask questions for our Mishnah. Shtei Menachot, Shelo Nikmitzu. If two Menachot, neither of them had the comments taken off of it. Vidjarbu, Zo Bezo. And then they got mixed up with each other. If you can take up a comment from each one of them by themselves, ksherot, then they're fine. If you can't do that, they are psulot. Wait a minute. If you take off the comments from one of them, it will be then shirayim. And we don't say that the shirayim or Mevatel, the Tevel, the one that doesn't have a Kometz off of it. So here you have, as you go through the process of separating out the Kometz from it, in a situation or scenario where they're mixed together, but there's sufficiently identifiable parts of each one, where you can take a Kometz off of it for each one independently. But you have to do that in sequential order. You can't take off a Kometz from both of them at the same time, simultaneously, because you have to do it with your right hand, and it's just not feasible for you to go in there and do two Kometzim at once. So that means you're going to do it in order. It means you can take off a comments from the first one. That means you have shirayim of the first one. Then you have the other one, which still has yet to have its Kumin taken off, which is Tevel. How come we don't say that one is Mevatel the other? The way that our Gemara asks the question is, why is it that the Shirayim don't overwhelm that which is Tevel, that which has yet to take the Kumin off of it? Mani, who's the author of that position in the Mishnah? Irabonon, Amrei Olenu Delo Mevatel HaDodi. They only say things that go on the Mizbeach, don't wipe each other out. Hamim Bimino, Batel. Over here, why can't it be Mevatel? Why can't the Shirayim of the first Mincha, which you took the Kumetz off from, be Mevatel, the Tevo, that one that didn't have its Kumetz taken off yet? Of Shita, Rabbi Yehuda. It's gotta be Rabbi Yehuda. Bishlamo, the Mandamer, Butter, Batel, Aslinon. According to one who says we go after the object to determine whether they're Mim Bimino, Batel, Havikim Mevatel. The reason it's Mim Bimino over here is because the object of the Bitul can become like the Mevatel. The Chikometz Midach, when you take off the Kumetz from the other one, Habilu Shirayim, Kihani. Over here, the object of the Bitul is the Tevel. If you separate a Kumetz away from it, it'll turn into Shirayim, just like the Mevatel. If that's the case, it is Min Dimino, like the original ones. And therefore, it's Min Dimino, and it's not Batel, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Elamanda Amar, Batar Mevatel, Azlini, according to Rabbi Chisto, who says we go after the item that is creating the Bitul, Shirayim Mikava Tivla. Shirayim can't turn into Tevel. They can never change into Tevel. So Lema Delok Rabbi Chia. So let's say now, at least according to Rav Chista's view over here, let us say that this can't fit into this view of Rabbi Chia. It says no. Hotam kid Rabbi Zera. Again, we're going to quote Rabbi Zera three times over here. And the third one is the where Rabbi Zera made his statement. But the first two are lifting what we say in the other case. I'll give you kid Rabbi Zera. Dam Rabbi Zera. Nemra haktara bekometz. It says by the kometz that you have to put it onto the Mizbeach. You have to take the Kometz, Viktira Koina, that's Karata Mizbecha, to put that on the Mizbeach. Nemer Haktara Bashirayim. It also says Haktara Bashirayim, it's not really Haktara, it's Lo Taktiru. It says Lo Taktiru Mimenu Ishel Hashem. Then anything in Shirayim is Bebal Taktiru, but it uses the verb Haktara. Even though it's in the negative form, it still uses the word Haktara. Therefore he says there's a Gzera Shava of sorts between them, which tells you the following din. There is the Emra and Akhtara Bekometz, and Emra Akhtara Bishirayim. Makhtara Mura Bekometz, Ein Kometz Mevatel Et Chavero. Just like by the Akhtara of the Kometz, Ein Olim Mevatlim Zeh Zeh. Therefore they're not Mevatel each other. Af Akhtara Mura Bishirayim, Ein Shirayim Mevatlim Et Kometz. So too the Akhtara that is found by the Shirayim tells you that they're not Mevatel each other. It's a Gzera Takatuv that the items don't overwhelm each other, or that the Shirayim can't be Mevatel the Kometz. Because they both have the word Akhtara associated with them. And the properties of a Davar that goes on the Mizbeach is that it's not Patel to another object of a similar type. And so too, the Shirayim here will be classified as a similar type to which they will not be Mevatel each other. So it's a unique din with regards to Shirayim, because Shirayim have a din of Akhtara. And so then you have a Kometz and Shirayim. Those two items are considered to be of the same ilk or the same type, and they're not Mevatel each other. So for that reason, according to Rav Chista, explaining Rav Chia's position, we don't have an issue with the fact that over here the Shirayim don't overwhelm the Tevel, because Shirayim are subject to the din of Haktara, which means that they're not Mevatel, something else that it needs to be Mukhtar, needs to go on the Mizbeach. Now, over here we find the Rashi's other view. I mentioned before at the beginning of today's talk, that Rashi has three different views as to what the problems are when these things get mixed up. Rashi over here says, Ve'amai lo mevatel le'tivla le'shirayim. How come the Gemara only asks it in a single direction? Why does the Gemara only ask it from the Shirayim being mevatel the Tevel? Why doesn't it ask it the other direction? In all likelihood, the Tevel is of a greater quantity or volume than the Shirayim. If you brought both same size menachot, and the first mincha you took off a kometz, and the Shirayim left, the Tevel, the one that didn't have a Kometz taken off, it has a larger quantity. So why don't you say that the Tevel is Mevatel the Shirayim? So Rashi's question is more fundamental as to why don't we say clearly over here we go Butter Batelas Lina by the fact that Gemara doesn't ask the question in the reverse. And to that Rashi answers, the Batel Keman Deleite Dami. The Batel, the object that is Batel, as if it doesn't exist, Velo Yaterle. And therefore, there is no excess over here. So Rashi says the reason we don't ask from Tevel to the Shirayim is because then, when the Tevel is Mevatel the Shirayim, it's mivatel et gamre. And if the shiraim doesn't exist, then you don't have any excess solet with regards to the tevel. The tevel, you would think, is problematic because you have too much flour now because of the shiraim that are left there. The answer is there's not too much flour because when you mivatel something, that bitul makes it as if it does not exist. Now, if you take that Rashi to its logical conclusion, that means when you do have a problem, the problem is that when you're mevatel it, you're missing something, which is the reverse scenario, which is the case where you're saying the shirayim are going to be mevatel the tevel. In that case, if you say kamandaleta dummy, you say it doesn't exist, then you have a problem, because if it doesn't exist, then you can't take a kometz up and you can't do anything with it. And so that's why the Gemara only asks it in one direction, not the other direction. As the Bali Tosfot point out, even in a direction, if you say it doesn't exist, that can create a problem. Because that's a situation in which you have shiraim that disappeared between the Hafashada Kometz and Haftarada Kometz, which is a machloket, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, we saw earlier. When the shiraim go missing after the Kometz is already taken off of it, what is the din? And Rabbi Yochanan says it's kasher, whereas Rabbi Reish Lakish said it was pasul. In the end, we first of all pass on like Rabbi Yochanan, and number two is Reish Lakish relented and actually then agreed with Rabbi Yochanan in the end. For that reason, the Bali Tosfot say that it's not an issue of here that the shiraim are considered as if they don't exist, because that's the shita of Rabbi Yochanan, that kometz is still good, and therefore the mincha is still fine. So that's not an issue. But, at least according to the way that Rashi says of here, the deficit in these situations is that you're mevatel the other item. If you're mevatel something in the other item, that makes it as if it's not there. That's the opposite of what Rashi said in the Mishnah. Rashi in the Mishnah said the problem when you have these things mixed together is vivashamna. There's too much oil in the item that it had there. He's saying it's the excess that causes the problem. Over here, Rashi says it's the deficit that causes the problem. And Bali Tosafot, back on the Mishnah in Chavbet, already point out that Rashi is soter himself. He says there, on Chavbet Amud Aleph, in the first, Vehein Bolot, is right at the end of the narrow lines in the Bali Tosafot. It says, Uperish zeh soter mashaperish b'mishnah. This explanation that Rashi gives over here is against what he said in the Mishnah. For that same reason, then when you have too much oil in the Mishnah, it wouldn't be a problem. Because you're mevatel the extra oil, and it's if it's not there. If it's not there, then you don't have a problem with Riba Shamna. So that logic that Rashi dictates over here tells you just the opposite of what he said in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says the problem with the mixture is you have too much oil in the kometz. You have too much oil in that mincha. According to Rashi over here, why does that matter? You have a little too much oil, it's mevatel it. And it's as if it doesn't exist. If it doesn't exist, then it's not a problem for you. So in that case, in the Mishnah, where you have the Nisachim, which have a higher oil content, getting mixed with the regular Mincha Nedava, in the Mishnah, Rashi said it was because the oil leached from the Nisachim into the Mincha Nedava, and you have too much oil, that's the problem. According to the way Rashi is explaining over here, that's not a problem, because the little extra oil that's there, we can tell, it's as if it doesn't exist, and then the Mincha Nedava should be fine. The problem will be the deficit in oil to the Mincha Nisachim, according to this view of Rashi. And that's what we noted at the beginning of today's daf. There are two different views in Rashi. What's the problem? Is the problem the excess oil? Or is the problem the deficit in the oil that was taken away from the Minchat Nesachim? So Rashi assumes, in general, that the item with the higher oil content will leach into the one with the lower oil content. It makes sense. The one that has more oil will go into the one that's drier. Oil is absorbed, in general. So if you have a higher dry content in the Minchat Nedava, it's going to pull the oil from the higher oil content. That's the way Rashi seems to view that it's only going in one direction. In the Mishnah, it seems to be the problem is that excess oil that moved into the Mincha Nedava causes a problem for the kometz, causes a problem for the Mincha Nedava. Over here, it seems to indicate the problem is the deficit in the Mincha Nesachim, that the oil left there, and now it's batel, and therefore there's not enough oil here. Those are the two different views of Rashi that we noted at the beginning of today's daf. Although the Shita Megubetz and the Nobet says that the reason that they're only going this way is because it's a lopsided problem. Because if the tevel is mevatel a portion of the shirayim, then it's not a problem because you already have the kometz taken off, and that's a shirayim that went chaser after you've already taken off the kometz. We mentioned subject of machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan that it's not an issue. On the other hand, if any of the shirayim overwhelm that which is tevel, then you have a problem because that's a mincha chaserah, and a mincha chaserah is psula. So therefore, in different sections, you might have a robe of this, a robe of that. But in those sections where the shirayim overwhelm the tevel, that causes a deficit in the tevel. In places where the tevel overwhelms the shirayim, it'll cause a deficit in the shirayim, but a deficit in the shirayim is not consequential here, as opposed to a deficit in the tevel, which is consequential. And that's how the Shittu Mekubet said, no bed explains the lopsidedness of the situation here. So Gemara answered the question by saying over here, it's different because Shirayim and Komets can't be mixed together because they are min b'mino because of this din of Haktara that comes from Rabbi Zera. So that's Ashma. Komets shinit arvea b'mincha shlo nik mitzah. The next case in the Mishnah where you have a Komets that got mixed up with a mincha that did not have a Komets taken off of it. Lo yaktir. Can't put on mizbeah. V'im iktir zo shinik mitzah al talabalim. And if he does put on the mizbeach, then the one that had the comments taken off it is not the balim. Zoshalonik mitzah lo atal the balim. The one that doesn't have the comments taken off it will not work for the balim. Velo kamibatale tibla the comments. Why don't we say that the tevel, the one that didn't have comments taken off it, overwhelms the comments, and the comments is batel over here? How come we don't say that? Mani, again, who's the author of that position? Ira bono namre olinu delo mibatale adoti. The rabbanon say that olim are not mibatale each other. Amin bimino batil. When they're the same character, the same type, then they are mevatel each other. So why here? Don't you say the tevel is mevatel the komets? Elapshita, Rabbi Yehuda. Must be Rabbi Yehuda. Bishmal amandamar batel mevatel azlinan. If you hold like Rav Chista, that you go after the mevatel, mevatel havi ki batel. Then, they over here, the mevatel, the one that's doing the bitul, which is the tevel, can become like the object of the bitul, which is the komets. The whole porta, chazin the mikmatz minay. Because every portion of that tevel, that one that didn't have the komets stick on it, is ra'oi to be a piece of komets. Because whenever you take it off, it could be from anywhere over there. So all of it's right to be komets, which is the object of the bitul over here. So Rabbi Chista, that'll be min b'mino, min b'mino lo batel. Elamanda amar batel batel azlina. According to Rabbi Chanina, where we go after the object of the bitul, komets mikavi tibla. Komets can't turn into tevel. There we have min she'enu mino, and it should be batel. Where it says, lema delok Rabbi Chia, once again, let's suggest over here, this should not be like Rabbi Chia. Hanami ki Rabbi Zera. This again is like Rabbi Zera. So again, for the first two cases here, we're saying it's like Rabbi Zera. This is not where the core of Rabbi Zera is, because in each one of those cases, you could have answered, it's only a problem for one of the two Amoraim. The first case was a problem for Rav Chista, and the second case was a problem for Rav Chanina. It's not impossible to explain it, it's just impossible according to one shita of the Amoraim to explain it. In the last case, it's a problem for both of them. And that's where the core statement of Rabbi Zera is made, which is, Tashma, Nitareim Kumsa, Bishirayim Shalchaberta. If a Kometz falls back into its own Shirayim, or into the Shirayim of its fellow Mincha, Lo Yaktir, you can't put on Mizbeach, because you're not allowed to put Shirayim on the Mizbeach. Ve'im Yaktir, Alta Labalim. But if he does put on Mizbeach, it is Ola Labalim. Of here, they never can turn into each other. The komets can't turn into shirayim. The shirayim can't turn into a komets. That's min, chain, and mino, there, according to this. The lo kamivatli lay shirayim the komets. How come the shirayim don't overwhelm the komets and mivatel the komets? Man, who's the author of this fish in Bechule? And now the girl's gonna say, lema deloka Rabbi Chia. Let's say this is not like Rabbi Chia. Now, it doesn't work not according to Rabbi Chista, not according to Rabbi Chanina. Neither of them can explain this part of the Mishnah. So, Amar Rabbi Zera. It's not Kid Amar Rabbi Zera. Amar Rabbi Zera. This is the core area of Rabbi Zera. So, Amar Rabbi Zera, Nemra Haktara B'Komets, V'Nemar Haktara B'Shirayim. There is Haktara that's said by Komets, and there is Haktara that is said by Shirayim. Maktara Hamura B'Komets, in Komets Mevatel et Chaveiro, just like the Haktara that's mentioned by the Komets, the Kamatzim don't wipe each other out. They are considered to be separate entities even when they get mixed together. Af Haktara Hamura B'Shirayim in Shirayim Mevatelim et HaKomet. So to the Lo Taktiru Mimenu Yishel Hashem that's written by the Shirayim, that also is not Mevatel the Komets. So it's a Gzer de Katuv that Shirayim cannot overwhelm the Komets, and the Komets is still considered to be extant, still considered as if it is there. You can see that in the Yud Aleph of the Shita Mekubet, said, Hokohu Ikar Milte the Rabbi Zera. This is the core statement of Rabbi Zera, Mishum de Kasha, Ben de Mandamar, Bazlin and Batar Mevatel, Ben de Mandamar, Bazlin and Batar Batel. Doesn't matter whether it's according to Rabbi Chista or Rabbi Chanina, you need this answer, Rabbi Zera. And this is the core of Rabbi Zera, and that's why in the previous two cases we say, Lema, Kid the Rabbi Zera. Like Rabbi Zera is going to say, in this case, this is where Rabbi Zera made his statement. Right, tell us what it says over here, that the Gemara says, Lema, Dolok Rabbi Chia. Maybe it doesn't work out with Rabbi Chia. The fact that the Gemara is puzzled by the fact that there can't be a Tana who argues on Rabbi Chia seems to indicate that the Gemara believes everybody agrees with this position of Rabbi Chiya. So Tosfot says, don't get a mistaken impression that everybody holds like Rabbi Chiya. It's just not true. He says that there are plenty of Tanaim that argue on Rabbi Chiya. Ule'el peirish tuba de lo kabate. He says, earlier on, I already explained a number of times how many of these sugyot don't follow the position of Rabbi Chiya. He says, therefore, when the Gemara says, look what the Rabbi Chiya, it's just testing out to see whether we can get these Tanaic works to match up with Rabbi Chiya, but not because we really believe that everybody subscribes to this view of Rabbi Chiya. And again, that would be especially true according to what we saw in the Shita Mikubetzet, that the Ri says that Rabbi Chiya argues on the Tana in the Mishnah in Masechet Zvachim. Because that already shows you that not everybody subscribes to Rabbi Chiya, and that there is a machloket between Rabbi Chiya and other Tanaim, and that's possible over here too, that it doesn't have to fit into Rabbi Chiya. I'm not saying, okay, we'll try to fit it according to Rabbi Chiya, but if it doesn't fit, then you do have a machloket Tanaim, and that is not out of the question over here. That's what the Baal Tosfot suggests. All right, now, Tashma, proof by the matzah of Pesach. Tivla beketzach. They spiced up the matzah with cumin, b'shumshumin, with sesame, b'chol minei tavlin, and all types of spices. Kshera. Matzah hi, el sheni kreit, matzah mituvelet. It is matzah, it's just called spicy matzah, or spiced matzah. It's matzah, but it's just having spice in it, that's okay. The matzah is still kshera to eat it for matzah and be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah. Kasal kadatcha the opish latzva tablin tvemi matzah. You would think, or we think, that the case here is we have more spices than matzah. Now tell us about this. What are you talking about? Whoever makes matzah with more spices than matzah, that doesn't seem like a realistic case. The Baal Tosfot say it's a case where the spices got mixed around in the matzah, and there are areas of the matzah where there's more spice than matzah. It's not that the entirety of the matzah there's more spice than matzah, but the spices got concentrated in certain areas where there's more spices than matzah. So that's not the property of the whole item. Tosfot also says, interesting enough, that ubetosefta psachim tani ki hai gavna, this braita that we just quoted, is found something like it in the Tosefta. Says we never find in the Gemara or in the Tosefta a braita that's exactly like this. Find things that sound like it, but nothing exactly like it. So it's interesting. It's just noting that it's a unique braita that the Gemara is quoting over here. Now, bishlam alamadamar butter batel azlinad, if you go after the object of the bitul, batil havekim batel. Matzah can turn into spices. Spices can't turn into matzah. The chima apsha habileke tavlin. Because when a matzah goes bad, it'll turn into a spice. It can turn into a sourdough. It can turn into something that can be used as a pungent spice for something else. But the tavlin never turn into matzah. There's no way that the tavlin are going to turn into matzah. So there I explained, if you go butter batelas, then it makes sense. Because then the matzah can turn into spices. It's mimimino, they're not batel. And therefore when you eat the matzah, you yotze. Elamadam are batar mevatel, according to Rav Chisda, that we go after the item that is being mevatel, then tavlin mikava matzah. The tavlin are here in a greater quantity. They're being mevatel the matzah. And you're saying to me, it's not batel? Why not? It's min sheino mino. Tavlin don't turn into matzah. Min sheino mino, the tavlin should overwhelm the matzah and it should be batel. When it says, no, hachamai skinan, do apishle tavlin, deruba matzah. The case here is a case where the majority is matzah, and the spices are the minority. Velo b'teva, and it's not batel. Dekanami, that makes sense. Diktani, because the braita brings us the reason why it's still considered matzah over here is, matzah I, el shni kreit, matzah mituvelet. The spices over here don't change the character of the matzah, because the matzah is the majority. The spices come along and spice it up, but in the end it's called matzah mituvelet. It's called spiced matzah. It doesn't change the name of the matzah. It's still matzah, just matzah with spices in it now. So he's saying there that that's the point, that the tavlin don't overwhelm the matzah to the point where it's no longer called matzah. So then it's not going to be a question on Rav Chisda, because the case here is a case where there's not enough spice to overwhelm the matzah. It's not a case of bitul at all. And it's not a question on that position of Rav Chisda. Tosfot says over here, you don't have to say necessarily that this is in stirot to the Gemara Pesachim that says, lo lichach inish matzah maror b'hadei adodi. You should not put matzah and maror together and eat them together. Because the maror will come, and the flavor of the maror will overwhelm the matzah doraita, and then you won't be eating matzah, because you won't have a taste of matzah. She says, why don't you say the same thing over here? You're eating matzah with spices in it. Why don't we say that there's a problem, that the spices might take away the taste of the matzah, and you're not yotze? Why is maror a problem, and tablin are not a problem? Dozo gives a number of answers. He says, number one, tahatam chosek amiriru to the mevatel ta matzah. Maror, the bitterness of the maror is so overwhelming that it wipes out the taste of the matzah. Over here, the tablin are flavors, but they don't wipe out the taste of the matzah. They enhance the flavor, but they are not changing the taste of the matzah itself, as opposed to the miriruta, the maror, which is overwhelming and wipes out the flavor of the matzah. Vod yesh tefaresh, tahatam kishochel kezayit matzah. Or the case in Psachim is the case where he only has exactly a kezayit worth of matzah. And there you're going to have a problem, because when you're having a kezayit of matzah exactly, then any piece of that matzah that's overwhelmed by the taste of the maror, you don't have a kezayit of matzah anymore. Over here he's saying you're eating more than a kezayit of matzah, you're eating a lot of matzah. So even if some of it is spiced and doesn't taste like matzah, the other pieces taste like matzah, and there's enough matzah there for you to get to a kezayit. So in that way the Baal Tosfot say it does not argue with that sugya in the Gemara in Pesachim. Okay, we're going to stop here. Two lines from the bottom of Chav Gimel Amud Bet.